We need a consensus top five quarterbacks in the 2023 NFL draft. Well, you got the two right people to do it right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. Welcome in. It's Locked On NFL Draft time. Alongside former NFL, AFL defensive back Eric Crocker, a.k.a. he's the good-looking one. I am John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, and owner-operator of footballtakeover.com. I am the not-so-good-looking one. Older one. That's the way I should probably
Wiser it. One.
Well, that's to be debated, as my wife tells me. All the time. But we welcome you into Locked On NFL Draft. And reminder that this show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. All right, Eric, one of the things that everybody does at some point is they come up with their board, their prospects, top five here, top five there, top five there. So I figured, why not Locked On NFL Draft. We can come to a gentleman's agreement on things, I believe. So let's come to an agreement on what our a consensus, if you will, on the top five NFL draft eligible quarterbacks in 2023.
Are we going to start off disagreeing five. Here?
Okay, we're going to disagree.
I'm curious to know.
Okay, you say on count of three. Tell me who your number one is. One, two, three.
Bryce CJ Young. Stroud.
Oh, man, I knew this was going to happen. Okay, make your case right now. Go.
Well, one, you look at the frame, and people are going to automatically be drawn to that, right? 6'3", close to 220 pounds, so he's just a bigger body. So right away, people are going to, you know, they're going to, okay, you know, I like that. And then he can absolutely rip it, right? You don't have any concerns about the arm strength or his ability to throw to all levels of the field. I think there is a chance that you lose some accuracy, maybe just a little, as it pertains, you know, between him and Bryce Young. But overall, he's definitely someone who can threaten all levels of the field. He can use his legs, although he does kind of rely more on playing from the pocket, which I think a lot of teams are going to really like as well. And he just looks the part. And I still think he's a little youthful in parts of his development. So I think there's a lot of room to grow there. So when you start to look at the body, the physical upside, the arm strength, the ability, and, hey, a little room to grow as well, I think as it pertains to being a prospect, not so much what have you done right now to this point, but what you can be moving forward, I think they might lean a little more towards CJ Stroud.
I could see that, and I...
Real quick, before you answer, do you think that the past, and again, they always say, don't scout the helmet, but they've been saying that with all the guys coming out of Ohio State, and I have never been one to be like, well, I'm not going to like this guy because he goes to Ohio State. Justin Fields, he was still my QB1. I thought he was the best quarter, most talented quarterback in that class, and I don't know. It's looking kind of weird right now, right? I might have been way off, and again, we just talked about his situation, his circumstances there. Not great, not ideal for any quarterback, all right? But because maybe a lot of people were so bullish on Justin Fields and disregarded the whole scouting the helmet thing, but you've had other guys, RIP Dwayne Haskins, come through, and J.J. Barrett and some of these other guys. Do you think they might hold that against C.J. Stroud, even though I think he's a completely different quarterback?
If I'm sitting in a draft room and I have a scout or somebody, you know, higher-level personnel person that mentions that, I would look right at that person and go, well, then you wouldn't draft Aaron Rodgers either, would you?
Right.
Because that was the talk about a Jeff Tedford quarterback. Jeff Tedford quarterbacks can't do it. You're absolutely right. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, Eric, in the entire draft process. Well, he went to such and such school, and they always work out. No, he went to
Texas Tech, and the air raid's never going to work for anybody.
Right. Exactly.
Patrick Mahomes shows up.
So. Exactly. You cannot, and it's one of the things. I don't feel like I do a lot of things really, really well, but if there is one, it's that. It's not getting caught with, okay, just because this guy went to this particular school means this guy's going to be that particular player. Oh, all their offensive linemen do great. And then all of a sudden, well, okay, I'm going to put that grade on this guy just because of that. No, I'm with you. There are going to be some that do it, though. You wait. He wears number 7. He plays at Ohio State. What's going to be the first thing that comes to mind? Oh, he's just another Dwayne Haskins. And I can promise you that's not – but it's coming. Somebody – some idiot is going to say that. And that's not true. With C.J. Stroud, Eric, my comp, Joe Burrow. And the biggest thing about the two – I thought there were two things that stood out. Number one, both of them can move and will move when needed. But when they move, they want to throw the football. The second part, their ball placement and accuracy. I remember watching Joe in 2019 thinking, boy, that's as good a ball placement I've seen. C.J. Stroud can put the ball in about a 6-inch spot on a back shoulder, down low to get avoid a defender. His ball placement is absolutely incredible. I don't have him at number one, but I can absolutely see it. So I will yield the floor to the gentleman. C.J. Stroud's number one.
Well, let's continue to talk through it. And then as we talk through some of the other guys, we can start to formulate how we want this to go or how we're going to rank these guys. We'll do that in segment two.
Okay. So I'm going to throw out there Bryce Young. And I'm going to throw out this one fact. And I say this a lot about quarterbacks, but it's just my gut feel. Now, we know Bryce and what he's done in Alabama. I think he's got plus arm strength, even though he's not the biggest guy. He's a little light. I think his football IQ is off the charts. I think he has taken a PhD course, even though Bill O'Brien and I didn't always see eye to eye that Bill's a very smart guy. He's been learning. I want Bryce Young with the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter. Bar none, end of story. When we talk about this game of football, it doesn't matter what you do quarters 1 through 3. It doesn't. You can pile up all the numbers you want. But if you go out there in the fourth quarter and you lay an egg and you bleep the bed in the fourth quarter, I don't want you. I don't want it. I want you in the biggest games. I want you in the fourth quarter. And of all these quarterbacks, there's only one that I want in the fourth quarter, and that's Bryce Young.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of the game. Now, I'm not saying that other guys can't succeed in the fourth quarter or can't excel in the fourth quarter. But when Bryce Young has the ball in his hands, I know that all 10 other players and 36, 37 other ones sitting on the sidelines are like, that guy's going to pull it out for us. And that is as powerful a thing for the players on the sideline to know. And you as a defender, you know, Eric, when your quarterback's out on the field and it's, say, a quarterback that hasn't been very good, and you're like, you know what, we're going to have to go back out there. We're going to have to save this thing. When Bryce Young's out there, you're like, I want to see what Bryce does. I know he's going to pull this thing out of the fire. I have absolute confidence, and that's why I would give Bryce Young the stamp of approval.
There have been some quarterbacks in the past at Alabama where you kind of think like, have they really been through like the adversity of going through tough situations? Sure. We've seen him go through multiple tough situations this season where he had to overcome the odds of winning. I mean, tight game against Texas, pulled it out. You talked about the headiness, where he is mentally and pre-snap. And I saw him do something, and I looked to my brother and I said, man, you see what he just did? He did something big time against Arkansas. On one of his first drives, it might have been the first drive, he threw a touchdown pass, threw a slant. I know a lot of people are thinking, oh, man, he just threw a slant, guy wide open, and your receiver ran for a touchdown. How much did the quarterback really do? Well, pre-snap, he saw right away because Arkansas showed it just a little too soon. Yep. They did the little dummy snap, and you see the guys off the edge coming. He sees, oh, they got a zero blitz on. So what does that mean? I have one-on-one with my slot receiver matched up against this safety. So he signals to this guy, signals to that guy, knew exactly what he was getting, put his guy in a situation to where, hey, you're going to win against this off defender. Guy ran a slant, boom, caught it. Nobody was there, touchdown. And to me, the biggest part there was just getting your guy in the right position to eventually win that rep and really your team putting them in the best case scenario. So you can talk me into Bryce Young being QB1. I'll go with Bryce Young, QB1. And are you good with Stroud being QB2?
Yes. No question. Those two are 1 and 2. Who are 3, 4, and 5? Well, we'll figure that out next right here on Locked On NFL Draft. But if you're listening to this podcast, I'm hoping that you're doing it at work. And if you're at work, well, maybe you're looking for other people to join you. Well, that's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. That's a lot of people. Add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. There's a donut place that puts the red on here sign, you know, hot donuts now. They put that on to kind of signal that's the same thing. That's what LinkedIn Jobs is doing right here, except it's not donuts. It's hiring good people. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Do you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. It's LinkedIn Jobs. We appreciate you guys for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day. Now make sure you check out NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. Locked On's local experts give you the inside scoop on the five biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football, plus betting advice from the field's leading experts, Bet Online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Okay, Eric, we've gotten 1 and 2. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. I'm cool with actually either order. And people, obviously, because of the Texans, have been asking me, you know, if Davis Mills isn't the guy, do you want Stroud or do you want Bryce? I'm more a Bryce guy than I am C.J. Stroud. But if it's C.J. Stroud, I'll get behind him because I know the assets you talked about are, I think, on point. I think his ball placement accuracy would be absolutely beautiful to see on a week-in, week-out basis. And to the point about not scouting the helmet, he is not Justin Fields. He is not Dwayne Haskins. He is different from those two guys in a multitude of ways. And by the way, you mentioned Bryce Young, too. He threw that slant route to Jerry Jeudy. He threw it to Jameson Williams. Mechie, John Mechie, my guy? No.
To be honest, I don't know who he threw the slant to. I couldn't name that receiver.
That's exactly the point. You hit it. That's exactly the point. Bryce Young does not have Jackson Smith, Njigba, Omega, Ibuka, Marvin Harrison Jr. Bryce is making do with some young dudes that are getting better, but he's making it go. And we'll see what that AC joint separation is going to mean for him. But those are our top two. So, Eric, let's get to number three. And this is where it gets maybe interesting.
Do you want to do the thing again where we count, where we do the countdown?
Okay. I'll count to three. Give me your guy at three. One, two, three. Will Levis.
DJ Ugalele.
Oh! All right. Okay. Now, I'll fight for Levis first. I think Levis is a little crazy. I think he is a gutsy warrior type. I think he can make every throw on a field, but, man, he is far from polished. I feel like he's the painter that just throws things on a canvas, and it doesn't matter whether he's coloring outside the lines. He just knows he looks up, and it's good stuff. I think Will Levis has got leadership abilities. I do think there are some awareness issues he's got to clean up, but I am getting to a point where I trust Will Levis right now more so than I trust anybody else at number three. I had Tyler Van Dyke there, but the change of offense and receivers being gone, it's just that hasn't gone well for Van Dyke at all. So I'll fight for Levis at three, but, man, you can absolutely convince me that DJU is doing it for sure.
Listen, to start this draft process, I was questioning, like, man, is Will Levis going to be QB1 potentially in this class? Because you see the size, you see the arm strength, you see the ability. I think all those things were there, but I think there's just too much inconsistency there. As opposed to a guy like DJU, who I think a lot of people have given up on as being a top prospect, let alone a first-round pick. I don't think you could find a mock draft that had him predicted to go in the top five. To start, or not even top five, excuse me, in the first round to start this season. And all he's done every week is improve. If you ask me after week one, I'd probably say, nah, I'm not seeing it yet. If you ask me after week two, I probably would still have that same response. Oh, it's not great. I don't see that dominating play. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we talked about that on the show. But since then, I feel like each week when you kind of count out Clemson, and what they are, he comes through and he makes plays. He makes throws. He shows big time ability, big time ball placement. I do think there can be some ball placement, but for the most part, it's there. The big time throws, you watch him against Wake Forest. I thought, oh man, that was a great performance. He can't play any better than that, right? Like, that's the best version of DJ Uiagalelei that we're going to see. But then you watch him against North Carolina State, and it wasn't always great. But man, he started doing some things where I'm like, man, that's a high-level throw. Man, that's a big-time throw. Man, it took some guts to make that throw. Then you watch him before the end of the half roll out and drop just a beautiful ball to Shipley down the field. I mean, beautiful touch right over the defender. Shipley was able to catch it, run. And one thing the refs kind of missed, which is really weird. I don't know how they missed this, but Shipley fumbled. And that ball went out the back of the end zone.
He totally fumbled.
And I don't know. They reviewed the play to see if he scored a touchdown. But it's like, y'all don't see that ball moving? But that's nowhere here. That has nothing to do with DJ, who threw a perfectly nice touch ball. He threw a touchdown there. Was kind of back shoulder in traffic to a tight end over the middle. So I just think that he's continuing to grow in the offense. We see a guy that has high-level traits. I mean, QB1 traits. QB1 mobility, which we're asking a lot of. I think the only reason right now why he's not considered QB1, I think if you were to start the season right now, and you don't know, let's say we ask my wife, Stevie. All right, we ask my wife, hey, babe, watch these guys. Watch DJ's last two games, and you can watch whatever games from these other guys. Who's the best quarterback? I think there's a scenario where she might go with DJ. Yeah. Based off what he's done. And again, you see him moving. I mean, he's leading his team. He led his team in rushing. Like, he has it all. And it's finally coming together. And I think people are still a little hesitant because of what last year looked like.
Yes.
And it was ugly. And you're like, man, are they going to bench this guy? This guy is not draftable. And this year, start off a little slow, but he's continuing to get better. So I'm keeping an eye on him. But right now, it's going to be hard for me to put Will Levis over him based off of what he's doing and the versatility he has at the quarterback position.
I think Uiagalelei he's on a path to be at least three. He's on that path. I think Levis actually has got to show over the next how many ever weeks that the mental mistakes, not turning the ball over, making better and cleaner and quicker decisions pays off, and he's got that time to be able to do it. Now, his offensive line has had some shakeup. He's been without a run game for the most part until Rodriguez got back. So I can see, and it's really kind of taken me a while to kind of get back around on Levis. I always wanted DJ to be that guy, and part of it is because I watched him throughout high school, and I really respected him going against Bryce Young when DJ was at Bosco and Young was at Modern Day, and they were going at it. And what I love about DJ is he's unflappable. He went through all of that in 2021, and you just would have never known. He's unflappable. He's got a smile that brightens the room. There's a lot that I like about DJ, and I think it's heading in that direction. I'm not all the way there yet. So I would propose Levis 3, and I like DJ at 4.
All right. So now, real quick, who's 5?
Okay. So I'm going to give you some options. You get to pick 5. You ready?
Well, I can just tell you off the top of my head who I think 5 should be.
Okay. Who's 5 going to be? Well, let me give you the option. I'll just maybe.
Okay. Know. Okay. Go ahead. We'll see if you bring up my guy.
Okay. Washington's Michael Penix.
No.
Coastal Carolina's Grayson McCall.
No, but I like both those guys, but no.
Florida's Anthony Richardson.
No.
NC State's Devin Leary. South Carolina's Spencer Rattler. None of those. Who's number 5?
Hendon Hooker, Tennessee quarterback.
I had him right. Sorry. Yes. I agree. Totally agree with you at 5. You will get no argument from me at 5. Tell me why, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, another guy who you talk about versatility, playmaking ability, right? The ability to make all the throws. I think the arm is big. He's getting guys either drafted or getting them looks from Tennessee, who people aren't even thinking about. Matter of fact, he has Cedric Tillman right now, who's going to be drafted. He's going to be drafted, and he's going to be seen as this big downfield threat. Well, who's throwing the ball to him downfield? Who's stretching the field with him? Who's dropping passes in there on the money and having perfect location for your receiver to go up and get the ball? Man, it's Hendon Hooker. And again, when you talk about some of the things that people might, the stereotypes, right, for him, accuracy, or clean up his mechanics, etc. You're going to hear all those things. But at the end of the day, he's a guy, he's a playmaker. He's making throws. He's making plays with his legs. He put Tennessee on his back against Florida when they were getting after it. And it's like, well, who's the better quarterback out here? Who's the better prospect on the field right now? I thought Anthony Richardson probably had his best game of the year. And even then, it wasn't enough because Hendon Hooker was just better. So that's QB5 right now. And I feel comfortable with that. And again, there might be some arguments. Again, there's going to be some jockeying for position between Hooker, between DJU, between Will Levis, and some of these other guys that you just mentioned as well. But I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing from Hooker out of Tennessee.
I love it. To recap, 1A, Bryce Young, 1B, C.J. Stroud, 3, Will Levis, 4, DJ Uiagalelei, and 5, Hendon Hooker. Man, I can't believe I forgot Hooker. That was a tremendous, tremendous catch. All right, on the other side, we got some either-ors, and you might hear a name that got brought up. But first, it's time to talk about BetOnline.net. It's your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, analysis, and every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information. Live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your games. Major League Baseball, you got the playoffs coming up. You got MMA, boxing, golf, football. I mean, they got it all right there at BetOnline. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Eric, is always my favorite. I get to do some either or, so I get to put you and Ryan on the spot. But no Ryan, so you get to be put on the spot.
Let's
start with this one. It's actually the third one I have listed here and the last one. But I'm going to go first because we talked about one of these guys already. More improved. And the key is that word, improved. More improved as a prospect in 2022 through five games. Either Oregon quarterback Bo Nix or Clemson quarterback DJ Uiagalelei.
Oh, this is a good one. And we were supposed to talk about Bo Nix on the previous episode. I believe it was Monday's episode. We didn't get around to him, but he's definitely trending in the right direction. I still have to go with DJU because DJ has been doing it on the big stage, right? Everybody's watching him. I think he had the most, even more than Bo Nix, to overcome in the sense of what last year looked like and what the expectations were. Now, again, Bo Nix maybe didn't have as high of expectations, but people were outright dogging DJ Uiagalelei, right? So you look at what he's done, big moments, played against the big prospects, really had to go toe-to-toe with Sam Hartman, and I thought Sam Hartman of Wake Forest probably had his best game of his life, of his career, and it wasn't enough because DJ was that good. He went up against Leary, right? Devin Leary, you watch him at North Dakota State. A lot of people talking about him. And there are probably people that have him heading into probably the last couple of games ahead of DJ U. And he just went and said, you know what? No, I am the better quarterback on this field right now. I am the better prospect. So I'd still have to lean towards DJ with what he's done over the last couple of weeks. But Bo Nix, people might need to start taking notice because he's definitely trending in the right direction.
Man, he's really improved. Kenny Dillingham, offensive coordinator at Oregon, has done some good things with Bo. You know, the decision-making is not always perfect. I mean, he threw that pick six against Washington State, but then he threw Oregon back into the game and got a win on the Palouse. I think Bo Nix has really improved and taken those strides, but I'm with you. I think DJU has done this. Okay, this one's – so bear with me on this because I've thought this through a little bit, and I always feel like the draft, there's options. Now, you never really like to talk about next year because you don't know what next year is going to bring. So I present you this. You're a team with high draft choices this year. Do you either bypass the quarterbacks, draft Will Anderson Jr., and then target Jackson Dart next year, or do you draft your choice of one of the five guys we just talked about this year and draft Alabama outside linebacker Dallas Turner next year? So do you follow what I'm saying? You're going Will Anderson in this draft, but you get your quarterback Jackson Dart next year, or you get your quarterback this year, but you get Dallas Turner, the opposite edge of Will Anderson, next year.
All right, so let's say I'm Houston. Okay. Right, and we see Houston with their situation right now. Yep. And there is another quarterback next year that you didn't mention, Caleb Williams,
I know. Fight That's on. That's why I didn't, because it would have been too easy. I know. It would have been too easy.
If I'm Houston, I don't want to go through this situation again where I don't know what I have at the quarterback position. You went from Deshaun Watson, who was terrific when he was there before all the kind of weird stuff started happening. Yep. But you had a quarterback that is like, man, there's so much upside. There's so much ability, man. Like, it's about to really click and we're going to be good again. And, oh, no, he's out of there now. He wants out. He's gone. You go with Davis Mills. You draft him. I liked him. And he showed some ability. Like, I thought last year, maybe Mac Jones could say he played better than him. But overall, I mean, I think you could make an argument that he had one of the, especially considering the circumstances, he had probably the better rookie year. He had nothing really around him aside from Brandon Cooks, yep. 209, Stockton, California. Let's go. But aside from Brandon Cooks,
yeah,
there was really nothing. All right. So I don't want to repeat this with this quarterback and the rebuilding and all that type of stuff. So I, if I'm Houston, yeah, and I got the number one overall pick, I am taking Will Anderson. And I'm probably not going to go get a quarterback from over there. I think there's this guy by the name of Jimmy Garoppolo that people get to see on Monday Night Football. Let me go get Jimmy.
Okay.
No one getting all with right. Jimmy. Build this defense up. Got some players there. And then maybe draft a guy, you know, in a mid-round, late round, kind of see what you have. This year there's going to be a guy, DTR, right? Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Nobody's really talking about him. Athletic, mobile guy, arm strength, ability. He's been carrying UCLA. He's a fifth-year senior. He's smart. They're undefeated right now. Get him in the mid to late rounds, maybe day three. Get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. So you got a high upside guy. We'll see what happens. But we got Jimmy G, and he's going to steady the ship. And we got Will Anderson. He's a game wrecker to add with guys like Jalen Petrie. Derek Stingley Jr., you know, Harris at linebacker. You have all these building blocks. I would probably go that direction. I think instantly Houston probably becomes a playoff team. Man, I just use Houston because, you know, we know that team, know that roster, yeah, kind of where they're at right now.
You're right about that. And I so badly want Will Anderson Jr. Badly.
Yeah, game wrecker. Yeah, and those guys make a difference, man. I watch San Francisco 49ers. I've been evaluating them, seeing them, analyzing them, all that stuff. And you look at the difference that Nick Bosa makes.
Huge.
And right now the 49ers probably have, they're a top three defense in the NFL, yep, for sure. Nick Bosa has a huge hand in that.
Yep.
He demands so much attention, and even then he's still winning at a really high rate.
Yep.
And if you take Nick Bosa away from this defense, like, he's not on the field, it doesn't look as good. You know, there's still some good players. You got Fred Warner, you got Jimmy Ward, you got some guys, but it's not the same type of defense. So I just know the impact of a guy like Will Anderson and what he could bring to Houston combined with everything else that they have in place that they're building around.
I use this term about guys like Nick Bosa, Will Anderson. They're dudes.
Dudes.
You need more dudes. And by the way, Dallas Turner's a dude too. So when he comes to the league, he is going to be he'll be a top five pick. He's in. If you haven't seen number 15 for Alabama, check him out. Because if you're looking for Will Anderson, you might see 15.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that in due time is going to end up being a player. But your scenario is very interesting. My hope is that Davis continues what he did the other day and builds, but Will Anderson Jr. is the guy that I want. Okay.
Yeah.
Last one. These two teams both drafted quarterbacks in 2021 in the first round. Which team do you think is more apt to draft a quarterback in the first round again? The New York Jets or the Chicago Bears?
Oh, I think.
And would say first round again, I mean 2023.
Right. Probably Chicago, only because the staff that's there right now, that coaching staff and general manager,
right,
they did not draft Justin Fields. Now, I think Justin Fields is the more talented guy. I think he's in the worst situation out of all these guys. So if anybody, you can justify giving a mulligan and giving a pass and saying, we're just going to kind of figure this out around him, it's him. But again, this is not the staff that they don't have any ties to him. And after this year, if I'm not mistaken, because he gave up a first, I believe, to trade up.
They did.
It's not like, you know, they get all that back. So next year, right, they might have the first overall pick.
Right.
Right. I mean, we'll see. I was watching ESPN earlier, and Rex Ryan was like, how does this team have two wins? Well, they beat the 49ers in the monsoon.
Yeah.
And then the other
game. We gave them the game. They beat us. We gave them that game.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
You know, so you beat Houston. So it's not, you know, you look at those games and kind of how they were, and it's like, okay, I can see how they had two wins. How many more games are they going to win? And I mean, yeah, I think most people would say, man, they'd be surprised if they win five or six games this year. And that's no knocking. It's just not a very good roster. It's just not. So it's going to be hard to win games. So I'd assume that they have a top three pick, and they will be faced with a tough decision. Do we do what the Arizona Cardinals did with Josh Rosen and just move on? And again, they brought in a new head coach. The new head coach said, this guy, Kyler Murray, we want him. We don't want anything to do with Josh Rosen. And there could be some of that, where it's like, all right, let us get our guy who we feel is going to really take this to the next level. Will they do it? I don't know. They still have, even if they did that, they have a lot of building around a young guy. So I think as it pertains to some of the things that we just talked about, right, keeping a young quarterback or adding that defensive player, I'd keep Justin Fields and I'd add a Will Anderson if I'm the Chicago Bears, and continue to get that defense better and build around them. Go ahead, draft a couple of receivers, and figure out different ways to be a little bit more dynamic, because they need it. They need it.
They absolutely need it. I mean, I saw it up close just offensively. When David Montgomery went down, I mean, Khalil Herbert did a nice job, but we played horrible run defense that day. But he just needs more around him. But to your point, and I want to make sure that you out there listening understand, that's a real thing. Just because they didn't draft that, that's a real thing in the NFL about who you trust. We didn't draft that guy. That's not our guy. The easiest way is to remove yourself and remove that player from your squad so you can go get your guy and then get tied into whoever that quarterback is going to be for a very, very long time. That's a very real thing in the NFL, and it happens a lot more than people may know or more think about a GM and a head coach being new. If they didn't draft that guy, doesn't mean that they're going to stay in bed with that guy for a long, long time. So we'll see what happens with Chicago and New York. But I hope those two guys work out. I like Fields. I like Wilson. I want to see them both pan out. But may come to, they got to make a decision, because this draft class is going to be salty when it comes out of 2023. Man, it's been fun. We appreciate you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day. Next week, in the next episode, I guarantee you we're going to get into more of the prospects that are playing this weekend, where they're playing, and where you can see them and our thoughts on them. But now, make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts, so make sure you go check it out. And we're so thankful that we get to do what we do for all of you. So for Eric, I'm John. We'll see you next time right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
Peace.